We walk through 1 Corinthians 15. Let's remember that this is much more than a theology lesson. Now, there's no question that the chapter is theology, truth about God and his ways. But we need to avoid the mistaken thought, oh, another week on Christ rose and we will too. If all Paul wants from this chapter is our head knowledge that Christ rose and we will too, he only needed a couple verses. And we would have only needed one sermon. But Paul gave us 58 verses. Now, of course, Paul goes deeper than just saying Christ rose and we will too. As a teacher, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul points us to a deeper knowledge of the resurrection. But there is more for us here than merely a deeper head knowledge. Theology, truth about God and his ways, is always more than head knowledge. Truth about God and his ways is the content for our worship of him. Truth about God and his ways is profound. There always comes a point where God's truth is greater than we can fathom, so it rightly inspires a proper fear of him. Truth about God and his ways is a flame that ignites our hearts to rejoice in him. Truth about God and his ways is an invitation from God to celebrate him. So if we slow down, as Paul does in 1 Corinthians 15, and meditate on the resurrection as we are doing this summer, the resurrection, Christ's and ours, becomes the stuff, some of the stuff of our worship of God. The resurrection inspires the fear of God in our hearts. The fear of God is our wholehearted acknowledgement of his utter supremacy. The resurrection ignites our hearts to rejoice in God. The resurrection invites us to celebrate God now and forever. So we come to today's passage. We start with verses 12 and 13, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 and 13. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. The Corinthian Christians were true believers. But among their struggles with sin and with understanding God's truth, they were, of course, influenced by the culture that they had lived in all their lives. The culture of the day held the belief that after death, the soul goes on, but not the body. So many Christians interpreted Christ's message of eternal life through that lens and misunderstood true eternal life. They did not understand that eternal life involves our receiving new bodies. And Paul was God's inspired apostle given the task of correcting their misunderstanding. Now let's get our bearings on where Paul is in his teaching and his celebrating the resurrection. In the first 11 verses of chapter 15, Paul has talked about Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection. And in our passage, he is still talking about Christ's resurrection. And what Paul has done so far is he has made the case for the reality of Christ's resurrection. And his primary evidence for the reality of Christ's resurrection is the eyewitnesses, the apostles who saw the risen Christ, and the 500, the more than 500 who saw the risen Christ, which are mentioned in verse 6. Now, skeptics, both then and now, say all those eyewitnesses were either hallucinating or lying. But when Christians willingly died for their belief that Jesus is alive, people had to stand up and take notice. So Paul has made the case for the reality that Jesus rose from the dead. So what is he doing now in today's passage? Now he is making the case for the implications of Christ's resurrection, for the necessity of Christ's resurrection. Christ rose from the dead. How does that matter? Why is it important? What does it mean for us? That's what Paul lays out in verses 12 through 19, the implications, the importance, the necessity of Christ's resurrection. Now, after verses 12 and 13, Paul will give five arguments for the necessity of Christ's resurrection. And Paul argues for the necessity of Christ's resurrection by saying what would happen if Christ had not been raised. And they are all disasters. If Christ was not raised, the first century Jesus movement dies. But before Paul shows us five disasters if Christ has not been raised, he needs to lay in place a foundational truth. And it is the truth of the believer's union with Christ, our vital connection to Christ. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Paul says, you cannot say there is no resurrection when we have established Christ's resurrection. See, Paul sees no separation at all between Christ's resurrection and our future resurrection. Now, as we read these verses, 12 and 13, we might say, I don't doubt that Christ rose from the dead. I don't doubt Christ's resurrection, and I don't doubt a future resurrection for humanity. I just want to know for sure that I will be raised to be with God forever. See, our concern is not the reality of the resurrection as it was for the Corinthians. Our concern is the destination of our own resurrection. Our concern may be the common concern of so many. Will I spend eternity with God? You know, it is possible to be truly saved and to walk in repentance and faith with God for years, but as you start thinking about the end of your life, you find your assurance of salvation shaken. Your awareness of your ongoing struggle with sin in your life rattles your assurance. Am I really saved? I remember that happening to a dear sister in Christ not that long ago. And for me, it was hard to believe that someone with such a vibrant faith would ever doubt her salvation. Well, the Lord restored her assurance, but that crisis for her was real. Now, as we talk about the implications of Christ's resurrection, I should say that there are implications of Christ's resurrection for all of humanity by virtue of Jesus' humanity. And it is simply this: every human being will get a resurrection body that will last forever. Jesus says so in John chapter 9. Jesus says, "An hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." But in this chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul does not focus on the resurrection of the unsaved. He focuses on the resurrection of the saved. In this chapter, Paul is focused on the glorious implications of Christ's resurrection for those who are in Christ. It is one thing to be given a body that will last forever, and it is another infinitely glorious thing to be given a new body so that you can spend eternity with God and enjoying his glory forever. So how does Christ's resurrection give assurance when we are plagued with doubt about our eternity? There is truth in this passage that is bedrock under our feet when our assurance is shaken. We read verses 12 and 13, and as I say, we say, "Sure, Christ was raised, but will I be raised to be with him forever?" These verses are acknowledging the truth that there is an unbreakable connection between Christ and those who are in Christ, between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers. So our seeking assurance about our eternity with God is not a matter of trying to peer into the future, into our eternal future, but rather it is by examining our life right now. Are we believers now? Are we in Christ now? When we are saved, there an unbreakable connection is made between Christ and us. If we are in Christ, his death is our death. And we can say that his resurrection is our resurrection, in the sense that his resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. Paul says, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Believers are bound to Christ, united to Christ. God is saying that there is no option whereby Christ was raised, but those who are in Christ will not be raised. Paul does not allow any daylight between the truth that Christ was raised and the truth that Christians will be raised. God says what happened to Christ, he was raised, will happen to those who are in Christ. I'll say it again, there is an unbreakable connection between Christ and Christians. Christ's resurrection guarantees that believers will be resurrected to eternal life with him. These verses assert that, these verses almost assume that, and more will be said in upcoming verses in this chapter. And now Paul will pile up arguments for the necessity of Christ's resurrection. And he does it with logic. He does it by showing that absolutely everything about salvation, about the Christian life, rests on Christ's resurrection. He is saying that Christianity, every bit of it, stands or falls on whether or not Christ was raised from the dead. As a Christian, your faith and everything about your salvation and your relationship with God rests on the resurrection of Christ. Paul wants us to see the necessity of Christ's resurrection by showing the disasters if Christ has not been raised. And verse 14 shows a two-part disaster if Christ has not been raised. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. In vain means useless, completely useless, totally unproductive and ineffective. Our faith is in vain if Christ has not been raised. And as Christians, we build our lives around our faith. Christ is our life. We have a precious church family to walk with. We have Christian friendships that mean so much. We submit to the Bible as it shapes and guides us. We live every day by prayer. We accept the Bible's answers to the big issues of life, like what is the purpose and meaning of human life? We stake our earthly life and our hope of eternal life on what the Bible teaches. In other words, our faith, our purpose, our significance, our whole life is entirely rooted in Christ, rooted in our faith in Christ. But if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain. It is useless. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. So all the preaching from this pulpit is in vain. And also your preaching, your talking about Jesus to family and friends is in vain if Christ has not been raised. So as Christians, it is not an exaggeration to say if Christ has not been raised, everything that matters most deeply to us is meaningless. If Christ has not been raised, verse 14 shows a twin disaster. Our preaching is in vain and our faith is in vain. But we cherish the fact that Christ has been raised. And because Christ has been raised, our preaching is meaningful and useful, and our faith is real and essential. We trust in a living Christ. Our faith is real. We proclaim a living Christ. Our preaching is real. Now, there's a second disaster if Christ has not been raised, verses 15 and 16. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. See, Paul, inspired by God, will not pretend that there is any distinction between the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of those who are in Christ. Now, verse 16 repeats verse 13. 16 again, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And verse 13, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Again, all humanity will be raised. But in chapter 15, Paul's focus is on the benefits of Christ's resurrection to those who are in Christ. Verse 16 again, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And the logic of the verse obviously very strongly hints that because Christ has been raised, the dead will also be raised. And Paul will make that even more crystal clear in upcoming verses beyond today's passage. But in verse 15, Paul envisions another disaster if Christ has not been raised. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. It's simple logic, isn't it? If the dead are not raised, Christ was not raised. And if Christ was not raised, when we share the gospel of the risen Christ, we are lying to people. Paul is arguing for the reality of our future resurrection by arguing for the necessity of Christ's resurrection. If Christ has not been raised, we are lying to people when we say that he is a living Savior. But we cherish the fact that Christ has been raised. And because Christ has been raised, when we share the gospel of the living Christ, we are sharing the most important news that they will ever hear, and it is true. Paul continues his arguments for the necessity of Christ's resurrection, verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Now, Paul has already said in verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. So verse 14, your faith is in vain. And now verse 17, your faith is futile. And then he details the disaster if Christ has not been raised. He says, you are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, Christ's death did not achieve the needed payment for our sins. So we are still in our sins. So we will spend eternity suffering the punishment for our sins if Christ has not been raised. So how we cherish the fact that Christ has been raised. And because Christ has been raised, all who put their trust in him are no longer in their sins. Christ has paid the debt that was rightfully ours. He took all the wrath for all our sin. Christ's resurrection is the Father's guarantee that his son's death has paid for our sins in full. And Paul spells out another disaster if Christ has not been raised. Verse 18. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. The Greek word here for perish is the word used for final judgment and eternal punishment. Paul is saying, if Christ has not been raised, Christians who have died are in hell. But Christ has been raised, And because Christ has been raised, our loved ones who loved and trusted Christ are with him. And I think verse 19 is the most fascinating, quote, disaster, if Christ has not been raised. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And what I find so fascinating about this is, this is exactly what many unbelievers think of us all the time. They pity us. We are pitied by many because of our beliefs. Beliefs like believing that Jesus rose from the dead. But Paul says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, Christ has nothing for us at our time of death. And if Christ cannot help us in our death and after our death, in other words, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, then Paul says Christ is useless to us. And we Christians are the most pitiful people in the world. Now, most of us Christians don't feel that way about following Christ. We would say, in absolute honesty, that the life Jesus calls us to live is good. But Paul disagrees. Now, it looks like he sort of gets where we are coming from, because he does say, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, speaking of something good that would come from having faith in a Christ who did not rise from the dead. It sounds like Paul is sort of admitting that following Jesus, following his example and his teachings, would give some satisfaction in this life. But Paul is urgently saying that there is infinitely more to our existence than this life only. There is an eternity's worth of difference between this life only and our existence after this life. As far as Paul is concerned, if all Jesus can do for us is help us to lead a satisfying earthly life, Jesus is useless to us. Jesus is only good for us if he can meet our eternal needs. Essentially, Paul is saying, what good is a long, satisfying earthly life if after this life we spend eternity in the lake of fire? So here is Paul's final reason why we cherish the fact that Christ has been raised. Because he has been raised, we who trust in him will spend eternity with him, enjoying his glory, which means enjoying him. What has Paul done in this section of 1 Corinthians 15? He has not argued for the reality of Christ's resurrection. He's already done that in reporting on all the eyewitnesses to the risen Christ and Christ's resurrection. And a church built entirely on the claim that Christ is alive after he died on the cross only takes off if the claim is backed up by reliable people who are willing to suffer for that claim. That was the argument in verses 1 to 11. That was Paul's case for the reality of Christ's resurrection. In today's passage, verses 12 through 19, Paul has made his case for the necessity of Christ's resurrection. And here it is again in summary. Because Christ has been raised, We trust in a living Christ, and we proclaim a living Christ. Because Christ has been raised, we have the most important news anyone will ever hear. Because Christ has been raised, all who put their trust in him are no longer in their sins. Because Christ has been raised, our loved ones who loved and trusted Christ and have died, they are with him. Because Christ has been raised, we who trust in him will spend eternity enjoying him. Let's pray. Jesus, how thankful we are that you are our living Lord and Savior, that you took on human form, came to earth, lived among us sinlessly, died on the cross for our sins, and rose from the dead. It is the best news we have ever heard. And as we share it with others, it is the best news they will ever hear. If we put our trust in you, and so many of us have put our trust in you, we are no longer in our sins, under sin's power, under sin's penalty, under sin's condemnation. We rejoice in the precious hope that our loved ones who loved you are now with you. And we rejoice in the precious hope that we who trust you, live for you, love you, we will spend eternity with you. And we pray that many more will be mightily drawn to saving faith in Jesus. Father, draw them. Holy Spirit, illuminate Jesus to their heart so that they see and love him. Do your mighty work in more people as you continue to do your mighty work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.